Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the midst of a series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. Our topic today, the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be an exciting study, and I'm particularly happy that one of our team will be leading our interactive discussion. I'll introduce her in just a moment, but welcome and welcome to the team. It's great to be together, isn't it?
Yes.
What an amazing series of studies on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. And we've had the opportunity to gain new insights, but I think what I've learned the most is that the Holy Spirit wants a relationship with us because He loves us.
Amen.
And today, Stephanie's going to be teaching. Stephanie, we're just glad that you're going to be sharing God's Word with us, and we'll be praying as we study together. But before we begin our study, just a few emails from Hope Sabbath School members around the world. You can write to us. In fact, we would love to hear from you. sshope@hopetv.org is our email address. Here's a note from Chris and Ira in Italy. We are teachers who work abroad, and we watch Hope Sabbath School every week. We have a link directly to your website on our computer at home. And it helps my wife, my daughter, and me to thoroughly understand the lesson for each week. Sometimes we are unable to travel to church, which is a Filipino church on the outskirts of Milan. And we use your program to start our worship at home. You really are a blessing to us, especially as often in church it's difficult to have an in-depth discussion in English. And you explain the Bible so thoroughly. Thank you again, and God bless you all. Well, Chris and Ira, thank you. And their little one, Vanessa, thank you for being missionaries for Jesus there in the beautiful country of Italy, and thanks for being part of our Hope Sabbath School family. All the way from Ghana. Anyone from Ghana today? No? Oh, wait, Daisy. Let's zoom in on Daisy. Wave to Samuel. All right, we've got a representative from Ghana. I became so impressed when I discovered Hope Sabbath School. You helped me a lot to teach my Sabbath School class every Sabbath. Sometimes it becomes difficult for me to read daily, but because of this channel, I'm able to explain the Bible to the class. Wow. I normally download the videos. May the good Lord richly bless you all for the good works you are doing. Samuel's studying at Sunyani Polytechnics, and we're just glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School. And you're another example, Samuel, of someone downloading that single page interactive outline. Go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can download the same outline that we use in our study and share God's Word with others. Just a short note from Wendy in Zimbabwe. Wendy, thanks for writing to us. Your email really touched my heart. She said, the Sabbath School lessons are helping me to have a deeper understanding of the Word of God. And I really thank God that with His help, I'm able to commit more time to reading and meditating on His Word rather than just watching movies.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a breakthrough, isn't it?
It is.
Amen. May you keep on doing the good work, saints of the Most High God.
Wow.
Well, we've learned what saints means, the holy ones, and that's by the grace of God and the
Amen.
Spirit of God working in us. Here's a note from Clive in Kenya. Clive says, I congratulate you for taking your time to spread the good news of our Lord to everyone. I pray that God will grant you His blessing, good health, and true joy and happiness so that you can continue to do a great work with His Word. I happened to watch Hope Channel in my friend's house, and it touched my heart. Wish to be in contact with you as we're on the same journey to our everlasting home. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. We are on the same journey. And Clive, thanks for writing to us from Kenya. One last note from Audrey in Birmingham, Alabama, in the United States of America. And Audrey writes, during the last few months of Hope Sabbath School has been a major source of admonition and inspiration. Mm-hmm. I attend Hope Sabbath School at least 3 times every week. So I can't wait to share at my local church what I've learned. I've also shared Hope Sabbath School on Facebook, in conversation, and sharing some of the lesson outlines. I think, Audrey, you're a missionary.
Amen.
You're a Hope Sabbath School representative. She talks here at the end, let's continue to pray for all of God's children, that we can all be gathered together into His heavenly kingdom. Amen? Amen. That really is our prayer. And maybe you're watching Hope Sabbath School for the first time. And I want to tell you, God has an amazing blessing for you. Yes. If you've missed any in this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and you can watch the whole series that we've just completed, plus many other interactive Bible studies that will bless your life. While you're there, you can download our theme song for this series. You'll find the sheet music and the MP3 file. It's called The Fruit of the Spirit, word for word, from Galatians chapter 5. I know many of you have learned it, so let's sing it together. I'm really starting to enjoy that song because I realize that that's God's ideal, that we'd be full of joy. In fact, we're studying today about the fruit of the Spirit. Stephanie, I know it's going to be a great lesson, and God bless you as you share God's word with us.
Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to study your word today. We ask that you would speak to our hearts and that when we leave today, we would know that we have spent time with you in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have a powerful study today on the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to start out with one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and that's John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 11. And we're going to use this as a foundation for our study. And Puya, if you have that, would you go ahead and read for us John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. John chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides with the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. For if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
Is there a word that you continue to hear in this passage? What is that word?
Abide.
Abide. So this is not a casual contact, is it? It's not. It's a remaining, a continuing, abiding connection that we're seeing here. When we hear the same word being repeated over and over again, does that indicate something?
Usually that it's important.
It's important. Generally speaking, it's important. Why do you think it is important to abide in Jesus? Why is that important? Go ahead, Jason.
When I think of the word abide, the word that comes to mind is abode or home or house. And I think of the idea of living. And so Jesus is telling us we need to live in him. And living is something you do moment by moment across a long period of time. And so I think this is important to let us know that this is both a continual and a momentary step-by-step thing that we are with this connection with Christ.
All right. Very good. Alyssa.
And a few things just pulling out from the text. It says, because apart from me, you can do nothing. It also says, so that you may bear fruit. And then at the end, that your joy may be full. It's just a happy way to live, to be connected to him.
That's beautiful. And Alyssa, you actually brought us to the next question that came to my mind. What is the natural result of this abiding relationship? And that's in verse 5, if you notice that. What is the natural result? What do you see, Kyle?
You bear fruit. It's just like if you cut a branch off a tree, it no longer is receiving that nourishment. The branch itself cannot nourish itself. It has to be connected. So we have to be connected to be able to receive the nourishment, to bear the fruit that God wants us to have.
Very good. Was there another comment? Yes, Ray. Yeah,
I also think, you know, sometimes we can focus so much on the bearing fruit that we forget that the first thing we need to do is to abide in him. Mm. You know, so I think that's why there's a repetition. You know, he's putting it there because sometimes we focus on the bearing instead of the remaining part.
Mm. Thank you, Ray. That's getting us focused to where our focus should be, right?
Right.
To focus on abiding, and then the natural result is bearing fruit.
Right.
And Andre, one last comment, we're going to move on.
One of the other things that I saw was that it refers to being pruned. Mm. If you abide in him, that he prunes you. So that means that he's tending to you, he's addressing your needs,
Moving
so I thought that was awesome.
Yes, yes, very good. What I'd like us to move over into the Sermon on the Mount, on the mountain in Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to learn a little bit more about what Jesus says about fruit bearing. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 20. Who would have that could read for me? Go ahead, Nicole.
So Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. I'm reading from the New International Version.
Yes.
And it says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Mm. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them.
Amen.
So what do we learn here about fruit and fruit bearing? What is it that you see? And I think that John chapter 15 helps us understand Matthew chapter 7, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think, Stephanie, the most important thing, kind of what Ray was saying, is not to try to be fruitful, but to make sure I'm grafted
into the right stock,
you know? Because if I'm grafted into the wrong stock, I'm bearing bad fruit.
Right.
Yes.
I need to make sure that I have that. I like the word connection that was used earlier. A living connection with Jesus. That's it. Making sure I know Jesus and have a living connection with him, then the fruit will come. This is saying you're grafted into the wrong stock, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to bear good fruit.
Interesting. Was there another comment?
Andre? When you talked about grafting and into the wrong spot, I was thinking there's so many hybrid fruits out there these days. And in this day and age with the genetically modified fruits, you have the ones that don't have any seeds. So they cannot produce any more fruit after their kind because they don't. And so looking at that analogy, it's like that's why it's so important to be grafted into the tree of life, tree of
actually, into Jesus, right?
Yeah, Jesus.
The vine is just the symbol.
Yes. He says,
abide in me.
Abide in Jesus.
So that living connection with Jesus is the key.
That living connection with Jesus, what I'm seeing here in Matthew chapter 7 is that the fruit tells where we're abiding, right?
Yeah.
So it's not something you can really hide,
right?
Is it? Well, I guess maybe you could for a little while. You could hang some fruit, you know, on you. But eventually the truth is going to come out, right? Because the Bible says, what does it say? By their fruit,
you shall know them.
You will know them. You will know who they're connected to.
That's right.
And Kyle.
All of us are bearing fruit. That's the thing I get this too. It's not just the good that are bearing fruit. Both the bad and the good are bearing fruit. So it determines who you are connected to determines what kind of fruit you're going to bear.
That's right.
So...
Very good. Yes, Daisy, and then we'll go to Jonathan.
And it's just like, it goes on to interpret what this fruit we're talking about. It says, you get to know what kind of people are by their actions, you know. Mm-hmm. Are we people of God or are we people of the devil? Or are we children of God or children of the devil? It's going to be determined by the kind of the actions that we put out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So far, we're just going to recap a little bit. When we abide in Jesus, then something happens. We saw in verse 5 of John 15, we bear fruit, and that fruit indicates, again, who we're abiding in, right? Okay, so, and that's the result of a good vine that we're abiding in. Is it possible, and I think we've somewhat touched this, but is it possible to have a form of godliness?
And that means power.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me about that? Mm. Having a form of godliness. Mm. Okay. Let's see. Lots of hands up. Nancy, go ahead. You haven't shared yet.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to say before is that the good news is that if we are bearing bad fruit or not bearing any fruit at all, we can switch that up. We can change. We can get connected to Jesus. So it's not... you know, terminal yet, you know.
Right. So having a form of godliness, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 speaks of that, right? Mm-hmm. Having a form of godliness, but yet denying the power thereof. That's because what's wrong?
There's no connection.
There's no connection. That living relationship with Jesus Christ is lacking, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Jonathan, go ahead.
It'd be like if you put a bunch of fake fruit and painted them really nice and made them look there so that you have this form. It looks real, it's there, but it's not alive. It's not going to quench anyone's thirst. It's not going to grow and produce any real glory to the gardener.
So that's probably a problem, right?
Yes.
Okay, somewhat. Because, if we're not connected to the vine, we could have fruit, but eventually it's going to die, right? Because there's no connection there. So how do we ensure that we have a living connection? Because we don't want to bear bad fruit, nor do we not want to be fruit-bearing. So how do we ensure that we have this living connection with Jesus? We're abiding in him and he's abiding in us. Andre.
Well, not only by seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit daily, but also making our religion, and this is going to sound like not an idiom, but like a term that we just use.
Cliche.
Cliche. Yeah. But making your religion a relationship with God. Because, for instance, in if we go a little further in the verse, in the chapter here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And it says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and did we not drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Mm. And so it's more than just doing these things that look spectacular in the eyes of others. It's Christ is saying, I want a relationship yes. with you.
All right. That's beautiful.
Yes.
But what I want to ask us now mm-hmm. is tell me a personal thing that you do. How do you stay connected to Jesus? Someone out here might be listening and saying, look, I used to be connected. I don't know what happened. I need that connection. Give me some practical things that I can do to be connected. Alyssa.
I learned from a pastor growing up that there are certain spiritual disciplines that we are to practice, yes. such as praying and reading God's word. But he took that a step further and he said, when you read God's word, you're reading it to know him. You're asking, what does this show me about my God? And when you pray, you're using that to talk to your very good friend.
Wow.
And so he took the basics, but he said, do them for the reason that they're intended for, to know God through them. Mm. And it changed my life to know that.
Amen. Beautiful. Yes, Nicole.
What helps me, or what I do practically, is I have a prayer partner, and we pray once a week. Mm. And it actually makes me get up in the morning, because if she calls me and she wakes me up, then I feel like I'm not there for her. So it makes me get up, makes me pray with her, and it actually makes me think about my day, my week, and how I'm actually going to, the things I want to ask her to pray for me for. So it makes me be thoughtful about how I'm going to approach my prayer partner. So for me, that's a practical thing that I do every week.
Amen.
To just help me stay connected.
Amen. Kyle.
You know, I think a lot of people struggle sometimes having that time with God, abiding in God every day. Our lives are so busy. We're always running from one thing to the next. We wake up tired. We go to sleep tired. We're tired in the day. And I understand, you know, and so, but I know in my own life, when I've taken the time to just, and Jesus says, abiding is having his words in us, verse 7 of John 15. Mm. Taking time to just read his words and meditate and think about Jesus and his love for me and the words of the Bible. Taking that time every morning just has changed my life. And I don't always do it perfectly, and some I struggle too, but I just want to encourage someone out there to just, even if you don't think you have time, just take 5 minutes. Start small, and God will bless your effort, and he will draw you close to him.
Amen. Some intentional time with God,
yes.
At the beginning of our day, right?
Absolutely.
We need to move on, because what we're learning here is that when we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us,
yes.
we bear fruit. But what are the fruit of the Spirit? So let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And I would like to ask Sean if you would read that for us. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23.
Okay. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
All right. What is the first thing that we can learn from these two verses? What comes to my mind specifically is, why does it say the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the fruits of the Spirit? Did you catch that? The plural. Okay. Jason. Did you want to comment on that?
I think for us, the idea is that this is a complete understanding, and it's not a list, because sometimes we can get so caught up in, okay, let's see, I've got peace, I've got faithfulness, I still need this one. So I've got some of the fruits, but not the others. But the point is, no, this is one complete fruit, and mm-hmm. by God's grace, we get where we manifest all of these together, but it's not about getting caught up on any one individual one.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a checklist?
Not a checklist.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead,
something,
Jonathan.
In general, the idea of fruit gives me peace, because it's not about me. It's not about, like, it's not a checklist. It's not mm-hmm. something I have to muster up. I mean, as Christ said, it abide in me. I mean, that's not something mm-hmm. I strive to do. That's not something I spend time, I rest in Christ. I mm-hmm. take time. And so it gives a much more peaceful way to look at our relationship with Christ. And then there will be beautiful things coming out. But it's not me going, okay, how do I look this way? How do I do that? How do I do that? It's living with Christ.
The proper focus, right? Mm-hmm. So did you notice the first on the list of the fruit of the Spirit? Mm-hmm. It's love. It's actually agape love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you think love is listed first? Mm. And you'll have to back it up with a verse, okay? Why do you think love is important? Okay, I'll give you a verse. John chapter 4, verse 8. Let's turn there. And Nancy, if you would read that for us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. I think this is the most compelling, right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Do you have that, Nancy?
I do.
All right.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version, 1 John 4, 8. And it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love."
Amen. Amen.
That's the definition of love.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God.
Yes.
God is love. Mm. He's calling us to love. Love who? Let's turn over to Matthew 22 and look at verses 37 to 39. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. And I'll ask Jason, would you read that for us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
Okay, so that's easy, right?
No, it's not.
It's not?
No.
Tell me about that.
Our nature is to love ourselves. Mm. Our nature is towards self pleasures, desires of the flesh, those kind of things. And so this text says, you know, love God first and then love the ones around you, but you love yourself. And that's just not something that we would inherently want to do. And so it's not easy, but it's a choice that we can make and ask God to give us the ability to follow the commands that he's made for us to do.
Right. So it is somewhat challenging. I think it's easy to love people that love us, isn't it?
It is.
Right. Because we feel like loving them.
Right.
But what about those who are difficult to love? Mm-hmm. So how does this love infiltrate our body, infiltrate us? Mm. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Mm. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And let's see, who has Romans chapter 5, verse 5? Daisy, do you have that for us? Thank you.
And the New Living Translation says, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love."
So how do we love? How are our hearts filled with love?
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, I don't know if we can add another verse, but just a few verses later, it says...
sure, which verses would you like to add?
Okay, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8.
Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
Yes, I'll be reading from the New NLT, the New Living Translation.
All right.
"But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners."
Mm. Mm.
So by, I guess I'm suggesting it's by beholding. It's when we see God's love, because our ideas of love are just never the true picture of what is revealed in Christ and in God and all who he is. So it's, to me, it's like by seeing this reflection that then our faces start showing that same love.
Amen.
By
Amen.
Beholding, we become changed. Yes. And I think that was in another lesson that we had. It's that, yes. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking that verb poured, you know, God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he's given to us. And I see this picture back to this whole thing of choice that we've talked about. You know, if my life is kind of like this, I wish I had a cup, but I don't, so I'm making one. if I'm kind of closed to God, when the love of God is poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit, it literally just bounces off. But if my life is open, if I choose to be open to God, which I realize is a slightly different metaphor from the grafting of the branch to the vine. But the same concept, right? Choosing to be connected, to be open. Then my life is actually filled with the love of God by the Holy Spirit. And the pour is something he's doing. It's not something I'm doing.
Yes.
I'm making a choice to be open. I think it's the beautiful idea. And that's a relational thing, opening my life.
And it's allowing him to abide in us. If we're not open, he will not be able to abide in us because he's a gentleman. Am I right? Amen. He doesn't force himself, but when we open up the door, yes, Kyle.
I was just thinking about the illustration. If you're pouring into a cup and it's just pouring until it's full and then it overflows. So then it's overflowing to others out of that full cup. So because of the love that he fills us, and then because we're filled, we're able to share it with others.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So let's move on to the fruit of the Spirit is joy and peace. So those who do not have a living connection with Jesus, where do they find joy and peace? Where do they find it?
Well, they don't find joy.
Let's be real. Where do they find it?
I would argue they don't find joy. They find happiness. Because happiness is based on your situation versus joy is an internal kind of feeling that you have about just in general versus happiness is based on what goes on around you.
Okay. So I'm hearing temporary.
Yes.
Temporary happiness. Go ahead.
I know a lot of people try to regulate their emotions through some sort of addiction, and it doesn't have to be a substance. It can be TV. It can be anything. But we just try to keep ourselves at this level where we're not dipping low all the time. So it's more just trying to not be too sad more than anything else.
Yes, Juliana.
Sometimes we try to control our peace of mind by controlling the situation around us. So let me make sure I have a good retirement account and make sure that I have a good house. And, you know, like we try to keep everything, all our ducks in a row, as we like to say sometimes here in the States. And we think that will give us peace of mind. But we also know that sometimes external circumstances can come. And, I mean, we see sometimes with natural disasters, your whole house, your whole life can just be taken away in a moment with something that you've been spending 50 years on is gone in 5 minutes. So it's really very futile to try and make peace for yourself.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I'm hearing a common theme in all of this. It's what you're doing, what we people are doing to build happiness or to have that joy and peace. So as Christians that are connected, having a living relationship, living connection with Jesus Christ, how do we find joy and peace?
It has to be through Christ.
Through Christ. Can you back that up with a verse for me?
Oh, okay.
We can.
Let's look at Romans.
Romans chapter 14, right?
Yes.
17. I knew she was going there. Romans chapter 14, verse 17.
Would you like me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm reading from the New King James Version. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Amen. Amen.
Can we also turn to John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11? John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Do you have that, Kyle? All right.
Okay, John 15, verses 9 to 11. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
So this is coming back to, I think Ray had pointed this out, that when there's that abiding presence of Jesus, there's that joy that is filled. And I want us to move over to just one chapter back to John chapter 14, verse 27, because I think this is powerful.
Can I add a comment real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, when it says, okay, it talks about joy coming out of obeying his commandments and having his love. And I was thinking, sometimes I think the great joy comes from when we can actually look at our life and have respect for ourselves and kind of how we've acted. So when we see God working in our lives and giving us a bit of his character, we can have joy rather than looking at our lives and saying, wow. Like, so it's kind of this reflexive as God leads us and guides us to keep his commandments, then that is a source of joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, beautiful. All right, let's go ahead and read John chapter 14, verse 27. And let's see, Jonathan, would you happen to have that?
Sure. Verse 27.
Yes.
All right, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift of the world, a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid.
So where do we get joy and peace?
From Jesus.
From Jesus. Mm-hmm. From having a living connection?
Yes.
Can we say that?
Yes.
Let's go on to the, yes, through the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to our next fruit of the Spirit, and that is patience. Some patience comes natural, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not exactly.
No? Okay. So let's talk about that. What? How does patience reflect that character of Christ? How does that reflect the character of Christ?
Oh, he's patient with us.
Amen.
How
Amen.
Do you know he's patient with us? Can you share a verse?
Oh, I was going to share an experience.
How about
No. I don't have to share an experience. A verse.
How about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9?
Sure. Let's go there. So this is from the New King James Version. And it reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Did you have a testimony that you wanted to share?
Well, he's patient with me, and there's every moment of the day. But when I find myself having a difficult time being patient with my children, I've found that what works is if I pray,
Amen.
Then somehow solutions come and, Amen. You know, calm comes. So, yeah, that works for me.
Amen.
I remember a humorous story. I'm going to confess to the whole world here. But one time, and it is easy. Sometimes we become impatient because we feel like things are out of control. And I'd come back from a stressful day and I was acting a little impatient. And my son, Christopher, came to me and said, "Daddy, you need to pray." And, you know, of course, he was not being impertinent, but he was recognizing that when we have that living connection,
yes,
that the patience that God pours into our hearts, as well as his love, it's beyond us.
Mm-hmm. It is.
The human reaction when we have all of these difficulties around us is to feel impatient. The gift of God is patience, yes, even in the midst of them.
Mm. In the midst of them. And Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, speaks about that situation. So if I could have, Ray, do you have that? Would you read that for us?
Yes, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, 9 through 11. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious powers, for all patience and long-suffering with joy."
Amen.
So my version says, "unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Hmm. So how is that possible? Tell me, how does that work? Maybe from your own experience, you've had to be patient, long-suffering with joyfulness. Go ahead, Poya.
Over the summer, I was working at a summer camp, you know, working with children and working with youth. Sometimes I really have to be patient. Mm. And there were times I almost lost my patience on some of the boys, not listening to what I was telling them with the camp rules and everything. But at the end of the day, I thought about what would Jesus do, you know? What would Jesus do? Amen. So I prayed in my heart, God, help me to be patient with this boy. So I called aside this boy who was not listening to the instruction that we've been giving. I pulled him aside and I said, hey, let's sit down and talk. So I told him, I care for you, I love you, so let me tell you why I'm telling you this thing. So with that, we talked through, and somehow God worked, and he stayed until the end of the summer camp. Mm. So looking back, you know, I could really see that it's possible to have patience and long-suffering with joy, with the help of God, you know, yes, by praying.
So let me ask you, how did Pollo have that patience and long-suffering? How was he able to do that? Yes.
I think it's trusting God to see things as he sees them, to know that what he speaks and thinks towards that child is also a way he can help me to see that child with those same eyes.
Wow. Some preparation took place, right?
Yes.
You'd been praying over the summer, I'm sure. One last comment and we're going to move on.
When we look at these attributes of the Spirit, I think about the autonomous systems that God has placed in our bodies and the semi-autonomous systems, like we breathe without thinking about it. Our central nervous system handles different things, but we have to get our sleep, we have to get our nutrition, and all of these various things in order for them to operate properly. And when we don't, then you'll see somebody who has to think about breathing, and they're nervous, they're nervous and anxious. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we have to exercise these things through the Spirit daily in order for them to become a part of our very being. Mm-hmm. And I read somewhere from a writer I considered inspired, she said that at a certain point, we begin to believe that, you know, we begin to do things in a right way with integrity and different things like that, and exemplify the fruit of the Spirit in such a way that we actually think that we're carrying out our own thoughts when it's really God's Holy Spirit working through us. Amen. And when we get to that point, that's a great place to be. Yes.
So isn't that what it means to be connected to the vine?
Yes. Absolutely.
Right? Yes. Having that living connection with Jesus. Amen. We need to move on to the fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness. Mm-hmm. So let's turn our attention to Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And do I have someone who's ready to read? Alyssa, would you read that for us?
Mm-hmm. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
Where do you see the kindness of God? Mm. Yeah. Hmm. Where do you see the kindness of God? It's right there. Mm. Notice that in each one of the fruit, in the fruit of the Spirit, that it's for the purpose of regeneration. Mm. In each one, we're seeing that. Mm. Let's move to, I've added a verse, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. If you'll go to Romans chapter 2, verse 4, we're going to see where the goodness of God is revealed. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and would you read that for us, Nicole?
Sure, Romans chapter 2, verse 4.
Yes.
And I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?
Yes, and mine says that his goodness leads us to repentance, right? Again, it's that restoration, that's taking place there. We're going to move on to the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, and faithfulness is a characteristic of Jesus, we've noticed, right?
Yes.
Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Let's see what the Bible says about faithfulness. And Andre, would you read that for us?
Absolutely.
Revelation.
Reading from the New International Version. It reads, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood.
And let's turn our attention, before we make a comment on that verse, we'll turn our attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And we're looking at the faithfulness of Jesus. Do you have that, Daisy? Would you read that for us?
Sure. The New Living Translation says, "This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is."
What do you see in those verses in Revelation chapter 1 and then again here in 2 Timothy chapter 2? What do you hear about the faithfulness of Jesus?
God is so faithful. I mean, even when we've been so unfaithful. I don't know. The story that came to my mind was from Hosea, you know, where God called Hosea to marry a prostitute to illustrate his love for Israel. And he said, you know, marry this prostitute and show by your relationship to her that I'm still with you. Like, no matter what, you've turned your back on me, but I still love you. I'm still faithful to you. And that's God. I mean, we've run from him. We've turned our backs on him. And yet he is always there, ready for us to return. That is, to me, it's the goodness of God.
That's powerful. His faithfulness is not dependent on us, is
right.
it?
Mm-hmm. He is.
It's unconditional. Yes. Well, Alyssa?
That's all I was going to say in one word. It's unconditional. It can't be changed by our behavior.
Amen. What a blessing. Jason.
I like in Revelation where it says who was and is to come,
Amen.
Past, present, and future. His faithfulness is continual, never ending. It's always there.
And it just impressed me, Stephanie, that what we're reading, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
What we're talking about is by a miracle of God and the baptism and the filling of the Spirit, that we're actually displaying some of the characteristics of God.
Right.
Yes.
We know we're not as faithful as he is,
right.
But when people see faithfulness, whether it's faithfulness between a husband and wife or faithfulness in business and in an unfaithful world,
right.
They're like, why do you act like that?
Right.
And you say, well, you really want to know, it's because I have a living connection with God.
Amen.
And he's faithful.
Amen.
I think that's important, but back to not being a checklist, okay, do I have love,
yes.
do I have joy, but maybe the list could be much longer of all of the amazing characteristics of God being reflected faintly, I know, but in a miraculous way in my own heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Very good. Did I see a hand before we move on? Thank you, Derek, for sharing that. So let's move to the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And is there a verse that comes to your mind when you think of the gentleness of Jesus? Matthew chapter 11.
Yes.
Do you recall that verse?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 11. And Jason, did you have that verse that you could read for us?
I do have that. I have it in the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Gentle and lowly in heart. Doesn't it make you feel at peace?
Yes. Yes.
Come, take my yoke upon you. His gentleness. Where else do you see it? Is there another verse that comes to your mind? How about Matthew chapter 5, verse 5? Sean, would you read that for us?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Matthew 5, verse 5 says, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
So the meek, gentleness. Yes, Jonathan?
I was thinking about in the previous verse, just the idea of God's yoke and it being gentleness and peace. When we compare that to the rest of the world and kind of the rest of the yokes in the world and how much, it's far from gentle. It's power, it's control, it's pushing, it's getting, whereas Christ, like the other previous verse, which was his kindness leads us to repentance. I mean, his yoke is a drawing, a wooing, a patient. I mean, he's so patient with us. He guides us. He sees little things. He takes his time to say, Jonathan, you really need to look at this. It's like, oh, thank you. He took his time to show that to me while I was ready for it. And just that God's yoke is right with us when we need it, very different than the rest of the world.
Were you thinking of something in particular that you wanted to share, a testimony?
Not specifically.
Okay. No.
You know, it seems an oxymoron that the meek or the gentle will inherit the earth.
Right.
Because our culture
says
the powerful and even the abusive will snatch the earth. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that the new earth in heaven, a new earth where righteousness dwells, is a gift to those who have a living connection with God.
Amen.
And part of that living connection is they reflect his gentleness. And it doesn't make sense to the world. But it's a gift to those who have that living connection with him. And I just, you know, I'm sitting here going, God is amazing.
Amen.
That even in our broken condition, that when we have that living connection with him, that some of the beauty of his character can be revealed.
Amen.
In a fallen world. That's powerful. Andre.
There's an old saying that says, please don't mistake my meekness for weakness, my kindness for blindness, or my humility for stupidity. And what that's really saying is that there's great strength in these attributes.
Yes.
Because it takes great restraint and otherwise to live in this way.
You mentioned something about restraint. Yes. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
Hey.
So I'm going to ask you, that was a great segue into where we're going. Do you have a personal testimony of how you've seen the power of God work in your life to exhibit self-control in a situation that was pushing you to the edge? Mm-hmm. Andre.
Ironically, when the gas crisis was happening, I was living in California, and I was traveling back to the East Coast, and I rented a vehicle, a small compact car for myself and the entire family. The flight was late, so I ended up getting a gigantic SUV. So I'm already upset because I'm going to be spending all this money on gas. And on the way to my parents' home, I decided to stop to get something to eat. And when I was pulling in, the parking lot was full. So I saw a parking space, but I did my geometry and my math and realized the truck couldn't fit in there. But it looked like I was turning in. This lady, she came flying into the spot, and she was giving me hand signals and four-letter words that weren't like love or give or help. And I was upset. And but, you know, the Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. And that goes in conjunction with the fruit of the Spirit. And so by the time I got out of the vehicle ready to not be pastoral or loving, and got to her vehicle, the Holy Spirit had reminded me who I am and what I've been authorized and empowered to be and to show that restraint. And ironically, I looked down at my shirt and I was wearing a T-shirt that said Child of God. And that just made it worse.
Or better.
Right? I went from a scowl to a smile. And it turned out that this woman was under great duress, lost her job. Her daughter told her she wasn't going to return home ever again from college. She was going through so much. And because of my new approach that the Spirit had reminded me of, I ended up buying her meal and praying with her and encouraging her and sending her on her way.
Wow.
But imagine had I not lived under the authority and the restraint that God has given me through His Spirit.
Wow.
That's a living connection, right? You can't
Real
explain
time.
That. That's not something that we manufacture. So go ahead.
And I think it's so important, as his testimony is so powerful. He wasn't trying to be self-controlled.
No.
It was actually a miracle of God's intervention. Yes. Right. Actually, ahead of time said, why don't you wear the Child of God t-shirt? You know, because you're going to need that today.
Amen.
And God had gone before him. And again, we look back and say, God, you're amazing.
Amen.
In spite of my frailty,
yes.
that you, the beauty of your character was revealed. It's a supernatural work of grace.
It's beyond us. I want to recap and then give a few moments for a testimony or two. We've talked about abiding in the vine, and then John chapter 15, verse 5 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, then you're going to bear much fruit, right? And we've learned about this fruit, that it's the result of having that abiding relationship,
Amen.
Right? And it's a miracle.
Amen.
But that abiding relationship, John chapter 15, verse 8, and we touched on that briefly, is that the fruit that is born is to glorify God. How does that happen? Because when the fruit is born within us, then when the fruit is born inside of us, then others are impacted, right?
Amen.
And then they desire that same connection.
Amen.
And so I want to leave us with that today, to have the connection, not only for yourself, but that God might be glorified
Amen.
Through your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Stephanie. And in terms of the testimony, maybe someone watching Hope Sabbath School today, you've got a testimony of how you've seen the fruit, maybe the Child of God t-shirt touch something in your heart. We'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We're all part of a great miracle of God, wanting to reveal the beauty of his character through us. That's our prayer for you, for each one of us. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, our Father, that you want to pour your love into our hearts, that the fruit of the Spirit will come through a living connection with Jesus. May we be quick to always give you the praise as the miracle happens, and to daily seek to remain, to abide in you, that we might, for your glory, bear much fruit. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. Thank you, Stephanie, for a great study. I want to challenge you to share what you have learned too. You can be a Bible teacher. Share what you've learned with those around you and have that living connection so that the fruit that God desires would be born in your life.